This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from FEMA Region 5 in the new media projection studio designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. Lead stories are TikTok poll. SpaceX accomplishes their first polar launch. No fiber for Hong Kong. And the GoPro Hero 9, exciting piece of hardware that's about to come out. I want to welcome you to episode 1472 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, August 31st. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. We hope you will. And of course, we want to give a warm welcome to all the brand new listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking the show out. And most importantly, get over to geeknewscentral.com. When you're on the website, you can get subscribed to the show. There's a link there to the newsletter as well. So again, go over to geeknewscentral.com. Hey, join our chat room too at geeknews.chat, or our link to our Discord channel is on the website as well. You can always contact me via email. That's real easy to do. Let's see if I've got the right screen ready. Yep, geeknews@gmail.com is the place to go to email me. If you have comments on today's show, don't drop that in there. Of course, you can join our Slack channel as well. That's always an option. Hey, my Twitter address is @geeknews. You notice a trend here, right? So contact me, email, or on Twitter. Of course, you can follow me on Facebook. Send me a message over there. All the partner shows are included are at geeknewscentral.com. And we definitely check those out. New Media Show, the Pro Gear site, the Gadget Professor, Podcast Legends, GNC Week in Review. Lots of great content over there by the partner podcast. Of course, you can support this show today by supporting our sponsor. GoDaddy is the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. That's us. They've been with us since 2005. And as always, we've got the new deals in place or the continuation of the same deals over at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can pick up a web hosting account and really save yourself a pile of cash. $1 a month for economy hosting for the first year with a free domain, or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. The free domain is worth $8.49. So don't delay. Get over there and get yourself a hosting account. And what does a hosting account really mean? It means you can get online. You can have an online presence. You can do cool stuff. Start a blog. Start a podcast. The list is endless. Start an online store. And again, we got 30% off new product purchases on that page as well at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We've got business options as well. We've got the free trial of the GoDaddy website builder. Your choice of personal business or business plus plans. That's a 1 month free trial. And the $499.com for a new or transfer domain. That's a one-time good deal code that you can use. And snap up a domain. So anyway, we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. Remember, we appreciate your support of GoDaddy here at Geek News Central. You will always find larger savings here with our monthly non-expiring offers. You're supporting a small business of content creators. Unlike a big corporate discount site that hides the codes and tracks your every click, we want you to use the codes by copy and pasting them and use them at checkout, or you can lock it in just by loading that up. We definitely want you to make sure your codes are right at checkout. Match that deal up there. But Geek News Central listeners save an average of 87% on purchases at GoDaddy. So, and of course, an average savings of $3.50 on GoDaddy domain names as well. So, all these codes are not expiring. We want you to use them. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. So, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? I tell you, it's just, it's like Groundhog Week. And this morning, I drug myself out of bed, got in the shower, and hit the office. And I actually had 2 Zoom meetings today, but I had literally 340 emails to go through since Friday afternoon, because I didn't check any email over the weekend. It took me to 2 o'clock to get that caught up along with some other stuff I'm working on. So it's just, there's never a lack of things to do. And I guess it shouldn't come as a surprise to be honest with you. But we did the new media show on Saturday. That's out and about. So definitely if you want to hear an interesting episode, the last one, all of them lately have been top notch. But before I get into my dialogue about some stuff I want to talk about today, that to me is just, it's gnawing at my brain a little bit. But let's get into the conspiracy theory. And by the way, the individual that sent me a hard drive. Now, you guys know that I was asking for DVD collections, right? But the person that sent me a hard drive, and when I finally looked at it last night, you just saved me about, well, you saved me some time encoding DVDs. I do appreciate the hard drive that was full of stuff. And I got word today someone's sending me a USB stick as well. So that person I want to thank as well. So I guess there's multiple ways to get movies. But what I want to do is maybe pay it forward. Are you in a location where connectivity sucks? Let me know. Let me know. Are you having trouble streaming stuff on Netflix and Amazon? I tell you, my PlayOn encoder has been running nonstop. So I'm picking up a lot of stuff that way too. And it records as fast as it just plays. So I get, you know, I get a new movie about every 2 hours. I have to queue things up. So that's kind of fun as well. So it's important to pay attention to those playlists that are available on what's coming and what's leaving platforms so that you know what to try to capture. So anyway, thanks for the hard drive donation. But let's get into the conspiracy theory. And of course, the first one today, Mount Kailash in eastern Tibet could be yet another man or alien-made pyramid structure and could have been a nuclear power plant. It has theoretical ties to other ancient structures around the globe. Reportedly conical shaped on one side and pyramid on the other, shrouded in mystery and even takes of rapid aging to those who attempted to scale it. So that's an interesting one, that they feel that this Mount Kailash in eastern Tibet may be what it sounds like is some sort of alien-made pyramid structure. Our second conspiracy of the week or of the show. Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan worked with the CIA to facilitate Stephen King murdering John Lennon. Let me say that again. The second conspiracy of the day is Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan worked with the CIA. Ronald Reagan was an actor before he was in politics. To worked with the CIA to facilitate Stephen King murdering John Lennon. Seems his growing influence and calls for peace were motivating factors. Allegedly, Mr. King has never probably denied allegations and used the word play when questioned. Where's the link to this one? Where did this come from there, Mr. Fixer? You gave me the link to the Mount Kailash pyramid story, but there's no link to this second conspiracy. Where did you drag that one up? That one's a doozy. It is a doozy and a half. Oh, my God. It is kind of funny. How old is Stephen King anyway? Okay, so even when I was a kid when Nixon was a president. I don't even know what year that was. I don't remember at this point, but it's kind of funny. All right, so anyway, that's our conspiracies. And thank you for the DVD donations. So I want to start off. I've on a new media show, things I've been doing for my business, things I do for this show, you guys know that I'm very, very protective of independent content creators and their building of their empires on their own .coms. I've been, you know, I've been an advocate and big, you know, that's a big part of core of our business is the simple statement that we believe podcasters should control all of their IP, their feed, their brand, all of that. And part of it goes way back. And I probably didn't even really realize it at the time when I started this show, was that everything I did, going to CES and bringing some of you along with me and all these different events that we would go to, was always to build Geekness Central and build the brand and grow it. And Geekness Central has took on a life of its own. You know, here in the studio, we've got our color set. We've got, for those watching the live stream, we got a little branding going on. You know, there's everything we try to do. I try to push you back to Geek News Central. I don't care where you listen to the show. And I feel personally that I have a pretty good grasp on the value, on the lifetime value and ongoing value of this show and the website and everything else. And this is part of the process where, you know, we've got some of you that are big supporters of the show and contribute $25 a month. We've got other folks that have come in and contribute $2 a month. It's all fantastic. It's all greatly appreciated because I know you appreciate the content and what I'm doing and what I'm working and my thought process and along with the journey, you know. And there's some of you that do one-time donations and others that send me stuff and, you know, it's sending art and whatever it may be. You're part of the family here. You're part of the Ohana. You're part of the team. And I know that you guys understand the mission here. And I've always said that my plan and my idea was to be able to create great content and be able to inform you and, you know, breaking the content down for the common man. And I don't always hit the mark and I'm not always perfect, but as I've matured in this space and you have traveled along with me, we have our ups and downs and quirks and toddisms and all that stuff. It is what it is. And the show is what it is. And I don't focus on having these big, big numbers. I'm not worried about building a 250,000 people that listen to the show. I'm not worried about that. But I know that this audience is what this audience is. And it's fine. I spend time in the beginning of the show just kind of talking like this. A lot of shows don't do that. It's not a format that I would often recommend to a podcaster that's maybe getting started today, but this is the way the show has evolved. So I keep my ear pretty close to the pavement or the railroad track, listening to what's going on in the space. And If you've ever followed the new media show, you would get like a shotgun blast worth of this twice a week of my thoughts and everything else. And if you want to be entertained a little bit, you might want to tune in for that. But that's 3 hours a week of more content that you'd have to listen to, maybe that you're not completely interested in. But I've been saying for a while that this content, like my show, and others, the 300 to 400,000 active podcasts out there, this content is very, very valuable. And we take Spotify, which very few of you listen to the show over at Spotify. Thank you very much. I appreciate it that you don't. And but there's a few of you that do. And I think maybe sometimes it's just people that discover me over there, and that's okay. That's the main purpose of being on Spotify. But Spotify's done a number of actions that affected my business, my podcasting business, and did some things that left a lot of us that are in the podcasting space washing our mouths out, because we felt to a certain extent that we'd been taken advantage of. And I've talked about this a little bit on the new media show. As we, my company was acting as tech support for podcasters that were trying to get on Spotify and just a whole bunch of stuff. And then we helped build their inventory and was their support. And then they went off and bought a competitor. Then they bought a couple of media houses. And now they're making a move. They just bought rights to Joe Rogan. He's going to be over there exclusively spending lots of millions of dollars. And along comes this guy that I've never heard of. And this is, I listen to a lot of podcasts, but, maybe because he was exclusive over on Spotify for the last 2 years and I don't hang out in hip hop scene at all. I found out about this guy named Joe Budden. And Joe is leaving Spotify, and I think he has, but maybe they got a few shows left, but they got a deal, great deal, 2 years ago, and then he talks about what has happened over the 2 years and how they've been treated. And some of the commentary that he made, frankly, pissed me off about how they were treated. They weren't allowed to take Christmas off. They were given a lot of grief when, and maybe it was third party or calls or when his father was dying. And it's just a series of things. And you have to wade through a lot of 2 hours plus of content to kind of get what happened. And they talk around the lines because they can't throw real numbers out because of NDAs and everything else. And I become an instant fan of Joe Budden. Now, the reason I become a big fan is because Joe has figured out what these suits are doing to creators. And what we've found, and music artists have figured this out, is music artists have been real careful to protect their touring, their merchandising, all that stuff now. They've gotten smart. So they know that when they put an album out, at least used to, they weren't going to make a lot of money on that, but they were going to make it on the tour. And they were going to make it on merch and other type of things, other activities, while still getting a check. And we've all heard the stories of how music artists have been taken advantage of. Well, here's the simple fact. At least for the most part, since the 60s or 50s, at least music artists have been paid for their art. To an extent. Lots of challenges there. They've gotten screwed a lot of different times. And so when I hear that Joe Budden's leaving Spotify, my ears perked up. And I wanted to know why. And I listened to the whole conversation. And again, money is money and deals are deals and people go their separate ways and all those things happen on an ongoing basis throughout the world. That's just the way it is. But what it really set me back in the seat was it made me really once again understand that the podcasting space has been unique and that it's been an open, not a closed ecosystem. There's been some attempt to try to lock some content up behind different paywalls and so forth, and that's coming with mixed response. And the podcasting space is largely still safe. It's open. It's unlike anything else. There's no controls. You don't have to ask permission to do a podcast. You can do a podcast and with some very simple tools, be online, your messaging being heard, and you can have global distribution. You can be listened to anywhere. You can listen to the show on iHeart, Pandora, Spotify, any Apple podcast app, any Google podcast app, you name it, Stitcher, you can listen to the show. And many of you listen. There's over 100 different locations all of you listen to this show because I look at the stats. So when he left the mainstream and brought his show into Spotify and locked it up, he really didn't become a podcast anymore. He was now a show on Spotify. And that's what's going to happen to Joe Rogan. But I really get irritated when I hear what appears, of course, I don't have all the facts, when I hear what appears to be the same model and worse being applied to podcasters. So Spotify gets this content for free. They don't pay me nothing. Right now, they're not advertising around it. I'm allowed to carry my advertising in the show. No issues. So from the most part, you know, I agree to their terms of service to be on their platform, and they, you know, I can't play music or stuff like that. That's part of the rules. It's for rules anywhere almost. But I get really, really annoyed, and my brain starts working when I hear about this creep of basically someone's trying to lock up the podcasting space. And it's just a few shows. But, and those folks agreed to a deal that they thought was golden. They put a contract together. These guys were music artists before. You know, they did the best thing they could do, knowing all the things that have happened in the past, music artists, to try to protect themselves, yet it wasn't good enough. And it really was a fascinating two-hour listen. And I just started playing their show before I was doing show prep. Their follow-on show was on YouTube. And my dandruff was starting to rise again. So I guess what I'm trying to imply here, and this is, again, I apologize, I'm doing it during the tech show. But these are the kind of things I think about on a day-to-day basis when it comes to people that create podcasts. I want it to be open. I want them to control their brand and stuff. Some of these shows will never grow beyond a niche or a small audience, but that's okay. That's, you know, maybe that's they're happy with that. And I'm not one to tell someone your show's successful or not. I mean, people that have 100 people listen to them, I consider that a success, because how often does their boss get to address 100 people on a weekly basis? You know, so I guess my main point here is this content. I'm one of 400,000 active podcasts today. This brand, and I feel my voice, is very, very valuable. And maybe it's more valuable than I think it is because I've got an ego, but that's okay. That's what I think. And we talked a lot about this on the last new media show. We've talked about it in the past on different things that have come up. And so I kind of got my ire up, because if you do a deal, and as long as you're treated fairly, then you signed an agreement and you take the lumps along with the diamonds, right? But I got the feeling that this show had been taken a little bit of advantage of and put the screws to. And when these guys, and he goes through the whole story, these guys were number one on Spotify for 2 straight years with their show in the podcast category. And yet when it come time to renew, after spending hundreds of millions of dollars on other talent, they were thrown a bone. And it's interesting that they used the strategy that it appears they did. And so this guy's out. He's going on his own. So I welcome him back to the community. But far as the podcasting space goes, when you're listening to podcasts out there, ladies and gentlemen, if you value the content that those shows are producing for you, if you value that content, if you're there every episode, and I'm not saying for me, I'm just saying for any show that you listen to, if you value that show, and that podcaster is not being sponsored specifically, and they're on their own, you know, throw them a donation once in a while. Because for sure, Apple, Google, Pandora, Spotify are not paying us a penny for any of this content. Not a dime. Joe Rogan hit the jackpot. He got a bag of money. and good for him. And but these other creators out there, if you appreciate their content, you know, support them a little bit. Understand that, in a sense, they are a music artist that is just basically, they don't have a stadium to go to and sell 8,000 t-shirts. They can't sell you a gate ticket where they're going to get 80% of the gate or anything like that. Their gate is maybe their PayPal donation link on their website. So support these creators out there that are they're creating content. And again, that's kind of my thought, because we're not getting paid by anybody else. That's for a dog. And I'm not saying everyone should get paid. You know, the content has to rise to the occasion. So I appreciate you kind of hanging with me here at the beginning of the show to kind of chit-chat that. And if you're here watching, make sure you say hello today. But I shouldn't let it bother me, but my blood pressure fucking goes up when I feel independent content creators are being taken advantage of. And again, this Joe Budden, I don't feel he was in certain instances definitely taken advantage of. But a contract's a contract's a contract. If you miss something and you don't have vacation plan in a contract, you can't say nothing. You can't, because you failed to address that. And I know what it's like. These guys doing 2 shows a week, 3 hours. Well, I'm doing 5 shows or 5 episodes a week, 2 of the New Media Show, 2 of Geek in the Central, and 1 of the a Podcast Insider. And all told, it's like, let's see here, 6 hours of content a week. It's quite a bit. And these guys are doing 6 hours on live, and a team of 4 or 5 that were doing it along with the back end people. So anyway, that's that. I just wanted to share it. If you want to listen to this podcast that I'm talking about, just go on YouTube and search for Joe Budden and leaving Spotify, and it maybe gets you the perception that those that are getting paid by Spotify all may not be well. So anyway, that's that. Let me go ahead and move into the content tonight, because that's obviously what you're all here for. And appreciate everyone chilling with me for a little bit as I kind of went on a rant. I don't normally get on the backside of the business side. But yeah, today, so oh my God, email, answering tickets, blessed for the business. But oh, some days I just need a break. All right, so here's your first tech article of the day. 40% of Americans back the president's executive order on TikTok. Wow. So that's interesting. 40%. I guess that probably falls. I wonder if that falls along Republican or Democrat lines. I'm sure it does. 30% of responders said they opposed the move, while another 30% said they didn't know either way. Yep, the response were largely split along party lines. And many of those who agreed with the order said they don't know much about TikTok. Among Republicans, for example, 69% said they support the president's order, while only 32% said they were familiar with the app. 21% of Democrats also supported the president's order, and 46% said they were familiar with TikTok. So this means that most Americans only have a little bit of fleeting knowledge of the brand. And there's been a politicization of TikTok here. And we know that TikTok has proliferated the use of teens to 40-somes and OnlyFans pages and all kinds of stuff. I think the OnlyFans things comes in because everyone's locked up and can't socialize, and who knows what else. People are lonely. And I think that's a little bit of it. You got, you know, beautiful men and women that are on there doing crazy shit. And they've got an OnlyFans account that who knows what goes on behind the paywall. But But TikTok claims about 100 million active users in the United States. But there's expected to be an announcement. I think they've been bought. That's the rumor on the street. We will see. And not a day too soon. Things are TikToking away from the time that is left. Hey, congratulations. SpaceX made their first polar orbit launch from Florida. So only the Falcon 9 can take a southern path that's close to populated areas. That's interesting. So anyway, they had a successful launch. While SpaceX didn't pull off a double header on Sunday's launch, because the company still managed rare feat, instead of launching eastward like every other Cape Canaveral rocket, the Falcon 9 headed south towards Cuba. The SACOM-1B mission marks the first such polar launch from Florida since 1969. The Air Force decided to only allow SpaceX to launch south from Florida. It made the exception because the Falcon 9 has an automatic flight safety system that can destroy the rocket if it has a problem. And it's critical that the rocket can make that decision without human intervention. And the key danger point for SpaceX was shortly after takeoff as the Falcon 9 skirted the Florida coast and the first stage dropped before the rocket arrived over Cuba. Didn't say if they had successful. I guess they did have a successful launch. So what was the partial success? I missed something in the story. Maybe someone in the chat knows. But good job for them on that. So things are changing in Hong Kong, and I feel sorry for anyone that's in Hong Kong. If I was a non Hong Kong citizen, I think I'd get out immediately. Google and Facebook have withdrawn plans to build an undersea cable between the United States and Hong Kong after the administration raised national security concerns about the proposal. On Thursday of last week, the company submitted a revised plan that bypasses Hong Kong but includes links to Taiwan and the Philippines that were part of the original proposal. One of the original project partners, Hong Kong's company Pacific Light Data Communications, has been dropped. Federal law requires a license from the FCC to build an undersea cable connecting the United States with any foreign country. When Google and Facebook submitted their application for undersea cable connecting the U.S. to Hong Kong, Taiwan, and the Philippines, a committee of federal agencies led by the Justice Department recommend against approving the connection to Hong Kong, citing the current national security environment. And basically what China is doing is they are converting Hong Kong to China. And it will take a little while, but it will be no different than mainland China before it's all over. And the administration cited the PRC, the People's Republic of China. That's short term for communist country, not the People's Republic, the dictators in charge. Anyway, the government sustained efforts to, in other words, the administration cited China. Government sustained efforts to acquire the sensitive personal data of millions of U.S. persons as a reason to deny the application. This would have gave them a direct link to the United States. The proposed cable's high capacity and low latency would encourage U.S. communication traffic across the Pacific to detour through Hong Kong before reaching intended destinations to other parts of Asia and the Pacific region. Until recently, we know that Hong Kong enjoyed a significant amount of autonomy from China's government. That is no longer the case. That firewall between Hong Kong and the mainland China has collapsed, and this new national security law gives the mainland government the power to arrest Hong Kongers for vague offenses like separatism, subversion. And if you go to Hong Kong as a U.S. citizen and you said talk crap about China and they're tracking you, they can arrest you. Same thing for mainland China. I would not hub through Hong Kong. I don't feel I would want to. maybe it's overreaction, but I don't trust him at this point. So, and at least never go through with electronics. No way, no how. You know, you go to China on vacation, leave your iPhone at home, go buy a burner phone. Use a burner phone for whatever time you're there. And when you get back, you throw that thing in the trash. Seriously. Hey, Brad, it was great talking to you today. I talked a little bit with Brad this afternoon. He's in the chat room, a little bit about his podcasting and some things to up his game. So looking forward to see what Brad does. Okay, the most exciting thing recently in the hardware space, GoPro 9. The GoPro 9 could be the ideal camera for vloggers. Why? They're putting a screen on the front, finally, where you can actually see yourself. It's been the biggest weakness of GoPro, in my humble opinion, for years, because you never knew if you were in frame. So we know it's had a front-facing, I think, since 7, but it's only give you, like, how your battery life is, how long you've been recording. So exciting. And some users might prefer that display. And that's what they're supposedly bringing to market here. And the leak was posted by winfuture.de. And we'll see what happens. This would not be they would not be the first company to create a camera aimed at vloggers. And, you know, I said vloggers, not bloggers. I've just never really been able to find, I've tried the vlogging thing, but I just don't have enough time. If someone else was around me to shoot and then edit it, it might be the most boring show on the planet, but people watch stuff for less. Hey, John, how you doing? Is this my retirement? Oh, this is my regular show I've been doing for 15 years. Almost 16 come October, but no, I've got a regular job with my company Blueberry, and believe me, it's a full-time, almost collapse me job. Yes, so I'm not retired. I'm still working. Hey, the FBI is worried that Ring and other doorbell cameras could tip owners off to the police searches. In other words, SWAT pulls up. No one's looking out the window, but the Ring camera's looking, and it activates. Hey, you got activity in the yard. Well, whoever's door is about ready to get busted down, they could say, hey, go flush the dope. So the FBI is worried Ring and other doorbell cameras could tip owners off to police searches. Cameras capture everybody, even the police department. So... Yes, indeed. The Intercept spotted the files in the Blue Leaks data trove aggregated from law enforcement agencies. One 2019 analysis describes numerous ways police and FBI could use Ring surveillance footage, but it also cites new challenges involving sensor and camera-equipped smart home devices. Specifically, they can offer an early warning when officers approaching a house to search it, give away officers' locations in a standoff, or let the owner capture pictures of law enforcement, presenting a risk to their present and future safety, which is probably true. And they point to a 2017 incident where agents approached the home of someone with a video doorbell, asking to search the premises. The resident wasn't home, but saw them approach by watching a remote video feed, then preemptively contacted his neighbor and landlord about the FBI's approach. He may also have been able to covertly monitor law enforcement activity with the camera. Of course, I got security cameras here too. But for security, I'm not watching those cameras, but they are being recorded to the cloud. So, Well, anyway, do you ever think about that? Not only people stealing your packages, but someone coming in to boot your door. You can see they're coming in advance. John, thanks for being on and listening to the show tonight. Appreciate it. Hey, over on geekwire.com, Bill Gates leads an $85 million investment in Cometa as satellite broadband venture preps for key rollout. Now, I'm on SpaceX's mailing list. They say the Northern Hemisphere is going to get coverage first, Barry Kantz, my CFO, who's out in Coopersville, Michigan, and he doesn't have high-speed internet just like I don't. We're all waiting. We're all waiting for this, for SpaceX. But Bill Gates is invested in Cometa. The Redmond, Washington company prepares to launch a new hybrid satellite, cellular antenna, and mobile internet service for government and industry use. So it's not for, doesn't sound like it's going to be for us. Sounds like it's going to be for the government. Probably the government needs more bandwidth on non-air breathers or on drones and that kind of stuff. But anyway, at least he's not investing in vaccines this time. So the investment will be used to help fund the manufacturing launch and further product and market development of the U8 flat panel beam steering antenna and the associated Cometa Connect satellite and cellular internet service. So any of you looking for investments and you trust Bill Gates still, there might be an option for you there to take a look at them if it's a public company, which I do not know. All right, what's coming to Netflix the week of August 30th? That's going to be in the show notes today. What's some good things? Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, anything major? I heard there was starting to be some major production movies that were being released too, not all of them being requiring a subscription. So I think we have a link to that in the show notes tonight. But anyways, stuff coming to Netflix. So I have that link up for you to take a peek. Over the weekend, a piece of space history met its end when OGO-1 burned up. NASA's OGO-1 was an artifact from an earlier era in space. It was launched in 1964. It was on a mission to study our planet's magnetosphere. Its decades-long journey around the planet came to an end over the weekend when the satellite finally re-entered Earth's atmosphere and disintegrated. Its final moments were caught on video. It's pretty cool. Let's see if I can run this here without getting a YouTube violation. And for those of you watching, you can see it. It looks like a meteorite coming in, and all of a sudden it starts. You can see pieces fly off it. Those of you on the live stream probably can't see it, but it's a 28-second video. Pretty spectacular, and it was flying. So, it burned up, and so one last piece of space junk up there. Oh, no. So I should have shut my phone off. So that's what happens when I don't put my phone in airplane mode. As soon as someone calls, it starts ringing all my Macs in here. So there we go. I put it in airplane mode. Sonos is coming up with a wireless headphone. It's been detailed in a patent. So this long-rumored wireless headphone has just been, again, awarded the patent. So we'll see what happens here. You know, Sonos dominates a high-end speaker market. Of course, they've had a little bit of controversy over the last year or so about some of their older hardware. I do have a couple of Sonos speakers that were part of that could have been made obsolete, but luckily they're not going to kill it. Any of you use Overcast? Well, Overcast podcast app, the latest beta update tells you which podcasts are tracking you, and I think that's very important. It really does dig in, and it tells you which services are tracking you. And the example they gave for the Vergecast was PodTrack for stats, PodSites for tracking, Chartable for tracking and stats, Megaphone for DIA tracking and hosting. So there you got 1, 2, 3 companies that are tracking you when you listen to the Vergecast. And not being so transparent about what's going on with that data, this is something that I've been involved in heavily in the back end, talking with a couple of these companies to try to get, how should we say it, user agreements in place to guarantee that our listeners or podcasters that use some of these extra services, their listeners not being tracked. And I've yet to have a signed agreement. But anyway, you can look, if you're using Overcast, you can now tell who, and Blueberry's in there. If our stats are being used, it'll say Blueberry and stats. So we're not exempt from that. But there is more detail, links to our privacy statement, terms of service, and so forth. So you can actually read what's being tracked. Because there's no opt-in in podcasting, if you remember. When you subscribe to a show, You're at the whim of that producer to protect you and your privacy. All right, OnePlus. Well, any of you familiar with this phone? The OnePlus may have been accidentally revealed. So it's just another phone. You know, people get all excited about seeing these pictures of a phone, and I'm kind of like, okay. Next. It's a rectangle. It dials people. It has smartphone capabilities. Hey, TikTok is reportedly in a deal to sell its U.S. business and could be announced as early as tomorrow. So we've talked about this at the beginning of the show, but it says TikTok has chosen a bidder for its U.S., New Zealand, and Australian businesses. Microsoft partnership with Walmart and Oracle are the two top contenders. And, of course, the sale price is expected to be in the range of $20 to $30 billion. So good for them. So Ted says in the chat room, I'm looking for a show to do things like In Search for Bigfoot. Seven guys look very well fed and traveling over the USA, and I could try chasing ghosts too. Toby, hi, welcome to the show. Ted says, oh, by the way, so far no Bigfoot. Yep, I agree. No Bigfoot. But we do have some conspiracy theories. Maybe Michael will be able to find us some Bigfoot conspiracies. Facebook and Instagram have revealed the content recommendation guidelines. These guidelines are Facebook's internal rulebook for recommended content. So this is interesting. Facebook and Instagram are trying to peel back the curtain on what has long been one of the least understood part of its platform, how it recommends content users don't already follow. So the company published this recommendation guideline for both Facebook and Instagram. In other words, you remember when you're on Facebook and you never see your mom, you never see your friends, so you see all kinds of other crap on Facebook, but you don't see the content you want unless you go to their page. This is going to explain how they do this. The guidelines are essentially Facebook's internal rule book for determining what type of content is eligible to appear prominently in the app, such as Instagram Explore section of Facebook's recommendations for groups or events. It doesn't tell you everything here, but they've been using these guidelines since 2016. So I'm sure there's going to be all kinds of, and of course, it talks about how they're handling QAnon and other folks. Because, you know, QAnon stuff cannot be real. That has to be, that's a fake narrative. And we know that Facebook has been long accused of censorship and shadow bans. We know that doesn't exist, right? Ha, 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 ha. And we know that it does. And Facebook even from time to time there are times I'll do a show and it won't get no Facebook views at all. And then there'll be other times where it'll get 200-300 views post-show. People come in to watch it. And there's a reason. I think Facebook really looks at the content and clarifies it. Probably today's show will probably get lots of exposure once it's published because I talk smack about Spotify at the beginning of the show. And, you know, anytime someone talks bad about a competitor, they'll want to highlight that, maybe. We'll see. We'll see what happens on today's show. But it is odd to see how it varies. And of course, I'm not always that entertaining, so that could be part of it too. Motorola's latest mid-range phone is a sub-500 stunner with 5G. And again, I'm not going to go too much into, this show's never been about mobile phones per se, but if you're a Motorola fan, this link will be up in the show notes. Now, the Yogi Ni is Lenovo's new flagship convertible laptop. And you say, what is a convertible laptop? Well, you can use it as a laptop, or you can use it, I believe, as a, let me look at it. Probably just like an iPad, I would assume. But anyway, link will be up in the show on that. So Lenovo's new flagship convertible laptop, a slim device with a leather cover. Okay. Qualcomm has announced the 732G mobile platform. We know the Snapdragon 730 got a high-profile launch with the Pixel 4a early this month, but the 732 is now the next iteration with the a prime core now goes up to 2.3 gigahertz from 2.2, and a little bit bigger CPU with a 15% improvement in graphics rendering. So we'll see where these chips make it into what phones, but it's just the ongoing evolution of mobile power. We know that Apple also today made a major change to the App Store, to its policies there. And they're in a little bit of pressure. In June, Apple announced several changes to its handling of the App Store review process, noting that it would, in most cases, no longer hold up bug fix updates over violations of App Store guidelines, and that it will allow developers to challenge existing guidelines. So this has happened. So for apps that are already in the App Store, bug fixes will no longer be delayed over guideline violations except for those related to legal issues. You'll instead be able to address guideline violations in your next submission. And now, in addition to appealing decision about whether an app violates guidelines, you can suggest changes to the guidelines, and they're encouraging you to submit your App Store and app development platform suggestions. So it sounds like they're trying to listen. But we know that their battle with Epic Games is still ongoing. We haven't heard nothing new on that lately. So, Kirk, make sure you're keeping an eye out for stuff that's going on with Epic. Hey, Amazon Prime's Air. Yes, you heard that right. Amazon Prime Air can officially begin drone delivery trials in the United States. The FAA has granted Amazon air carrier status. That's a pretty big deal. So, anyway, you might start getting your stuff via drone. So it's officially an air carrier. The FAA granted Amazon Prime Air the designation, which allows Amazon to begin its first commercial delivery trials in the United States. The company will use the hexagon-shaped next-gen hybrid drones showed off last year. They've not revealed when or where it will begin commercial delivery trials, but they do have a test site in the Northwest and in the nearby Vancouver area. Amazon has also tested drones in the UK, but there's still a few wares from getting a license there. So we'll see. Again, Amazon is not the first drone operator to receive FAA approval. Alphabet did. Wing and UPS are also operating FAA-approved trials as well. So step by drone here soon. Drone me, dude. Instead of droning missiles upon our heads, they'll be droning Amazon packages upon our heads. I don't even know who this company is. It's called Wish. Wish submitted a draft registration to the SEC for initial public offering. Founded in 2010, Wish competes with Amazon and Walmart, differentiating itself by offering a range of deeply discounted goods. Must not be too great because I've never heard of them before. So any of you who used Wish? Have you gotten value buying stuff on Wish? Well, they're getting ready to go public. Zoom, boy, oh boy, Zoom, 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 Zoom. I've got death by Zoom instead of death by PowerPoint. Zoom's share soar after revenue more than quadruples from last year. This should not be a surprise. Zoom video communication shares rose as much as 24% in extended training on Monday after the company reported fiscal second quarter earnings that were better than analysts expected. They got 92 cents per share adjusted versus 45% share as expected. Revenue of $663.5 million versus $500.5. You just have no idea. Everybody is using Zoom. And even though Google Meet is free, it's not as capable, in my opinion. Citrix GoToMeeting, which I use for years, we only reserve that now for like big meetings when we're doing training. It just has a few better tools for doing demos and stuff. But Zoom's revenue grew 355%. Man, if someone could have predicted this pandemic, they bought that stock, they could have got rich on this. That stock has got to be like zooming. Excluding after-hours move, Zoom shares are up 369% since the beginning of the year. And I was using Zoom before the pandemic. It's amazing. It really, really is. Even though I hate the damn app, I'm sick of it, of doing Zoom meetings. It is an everyday part of the tools I have to use to do business in the world we live in right now. You know, thank God I don't live in a big city. Because what was it first? those little, what it, scooter things that you kick things or you rode and it had an electric motor on and they were laying all over the streets. Then it was bicycles laying all over the street. It's just insane. It was just like this invasion of bicycles and, you know, those, and you go to New York City, there's bikes everywhere. It's just, forget it. Well, Revel is a new company. And think, if you live in San Francisco, you're going to love this. So, barring any safety concerns, the company has 430 scooters. Yes, scooters, 430 scooters that it's going to be putting in San Francisco for you to zoom around in and get T-boned by cars or run into people. You know, it's bad enough adults riding bikes that haven't rode bikes in years. Now you're going to give them a powered scooter. Oh, this is going to, what's the prediction? How much are they going to get sued? The 430 new vehicles feature a 2,960-watt motor designed to tackle those famous San Francisco hills. You have to have a helmet to ride it. Mandatory helmet selfie. Ooh. You have to do in-app safety training before you can rent one. So, in July, the company temporarily suspended services in New York City after what? Two people died and dozens more injured themselves riding its mopeds. And the company now requires all users to complete a mandatory in-app safety test, as well as a snap a photo of themselves wearing a helmet before they can use one of its mopeds. How do you know? Okay, it activates the turn, take the helmet off, right? I really don't understand this. I'm glad I'm not living and dodging these stupid things on the streets. And for those of you that live in these big cities, if you love this type of stuff, great. If you don't, why have you not complained to your city council and said, why? Because usually they don't, they ride them in places they're not supposed to. It's crazy. All right. Rocket Lab's Electron rocket makes a successful return to flight. It's the first launch since a failure in July. So good job to them. And the company's Electron rocket launched a 100-kilogram, 220-pound Earth observation satellite from its facility in the Mayhai Peninsula in New Zealand at 11:05 Eastern on August 30th. That makes the first flight since the company's failed launch on July 4th when it lost seven satellites, including one from Canon. The earlier failure was caused by a single faulty electrical connection that ultimately led to the engine shutdown. Well, someone didn't crimp it hard enough. And so anyway, they got this one to, oh, this is interesting. Electron Booster's payload was the Sequoia satellite from San Francisco-based Capella Space. The mission called I Can't Believe It's Not Optical because the satellite uses synthetic aperture radar. Oh, and not optical lenses to provide detailed Earth images. You guys have no idea, but you're listening to someone that has more than his fair share of knowledge about synthetic aperture radar. Matter of fact, for a period of time, I was probably the Navy's most renowned expert on synthetic aperture radar. So that's interesting. And they're calling it the Sequoia, which is even more interesting. So anyway, the things you learn when you listen to the show. Okay. Tesla cars will soon be able to detect speed limit signs. So when you're driving 85 and 55, the car is going to be able to warn you. Now, they used to use GPS to figure out the speed limits, but now with construction going on, Speed Assist now leverages your car's cameras to detect speed limit signs to improve the accuracy of speed limit data on local roads. Detected speed limit signs will be displayed in driving visualization and used to set the associated speed limit warning. So again, during construction, Apple's 12-inch MacBook will be making a comeback later this year. So it originally had a pretty short life compared to other companies' laptop offerings, so it appears Apple's reviving the laptop again. And maybe because of the pandemic. What do you think? Also, this is what I was referring to in the beginning of the show. Netflix is offering free access to select original movies and series even without an account. It's available on Android and computer browsers globally. It's offering limited free access to several original series and movies, including Stranger Things, Murder Mystery, Elite, Boss Baby, Back in Business, Bird Box, When They See Us, Love is Blind, The Two Popes, Our Planet, and Grace and Frankie. So it's a way to get a trial, I guess. So they said, we're looking at different marketing promotions to attract new members. Yes, there's a lot of competition out there right now. Lots of competition for our dollars for these streaming services. And finally, tonight, Edison's new email service lets you block senders before they hit your inbox. It's called OnMail. It can block read recipients sent by ad targeting companies. So, but Edison had some problems here recently with system security bugs. So I don't know if I'd be willing to jump and use their new email service called OnMail at this point, but it is a public beta. If you get a lot of spam, this might be the email service for you. All right. I do want to get into, I got a couple of comments from today's show or yesterday's show. I got an email here from Rod. He said, hey, I've been enjoying your podcast for more than 12 years. You asked if people would send DVDs, and I thought of the HBO miniseries, The Pacific. Instead of bringing it on DVD, I sent you a thumb drive just to let you know that was me. If it doesn't work, I can burn the DVDs. Let me know. Love the show. Thanks, Rod, for that. And also for the folks that sent me a hard drive, that was also appreciated. And I think I've already read this one. Yes, I have. So anyway, if you got any comments today, hey, it's easy. Easy peasy. All you got to do is email me here. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, appreciate all the shipmates that popped in today. And by shipmates, I mean guys that I served with in the Navy. So Ted, John, if I missed anybody, I apologize. Hope everybody's doing well. And, ironic on one of the topics that came up today, wasn't it, John? But anyway, thanks everyone for being part of the family here, and I will be back with you on Thursday. If you have commentary about today's show, you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com. Don't forget, you can become an insider of the show by going to geeknewscentral.com/insider. And we have been getting a few donations here and there. Definitely appreciate it. And, of course, people that are on the regular, monthly, reoccurring, we definitely appreciate you as well. New month tomorrow. So if you didn't do anything for GoDaddy in August, the clock restarts tomorrow. And you can pick up product service or share that information with a friend or family member if they're getting ready to pick up any type of a hosting service or thinking about getting online. It's just like doing it just like writing me a check. Whenever you recommend someone to go over to GoDaddy and pick up a domain name or hosting account, it's exactly the same thing. So I do appreciate it when you provide referrals. Hope you enjoyed the show today. We're going to get out of here. Again, I wandered for a while at the beginning of the show today talking about stuff, and I hope I didn't lose you all here. But anyway, thanks. Thanks for all being part of the family. We'll see you back here on Thursday, everyone. Take care. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.